Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Harry Palmer opens the next chapter of Office Wife.
I went to Port Kensington yesterday after pitching old Percy Fleming a yarn to get the day off. I had to. You see, I'm killing two birds with one stone. I've already manufactured a letter from Benny Puller to Jeff Pilgrim, authorizing him to make payments by open check to an agent of Puller's who doesn't exist. I've had invoices printed in this agent's name by a printer in a town 500 miles away. There was only one step left. To fix an address to which Bendigo and Company can post the checks Pilgrim is so obligingly going to have drawn for me. Well, that was arranged yesterday. Now we just let a few thousand run through the account, wait for the audit, and watch while Jeff Pilgrim tries to talk his way out of it. As if he will. I can't see any flaws in it, so let's think about a pleasant evening in Fig Tree Street. Too bad I have to take Millie. She's prowling around my sitting room now like a trapped tiger.
If we're going to the Green Peony tonight, Harry, isn't it about time you started getting dressed?
When will you learn that only the proletariat arrive early?
Oh, it's Saturday night, and there'll be a terrific crowd. I want us to have a table.
We'll have a table, my little one. Come here, feel my face.
Ouch.
Should I shave again?
I should think so. By 12, you'll be like a hobo.
All right, dig me out a clean towel.
Oh, I put one in the bathroom just now.
Well, bring my cigarette case in, will you? There's a good profit.
It's empty.
Oh, well, have a look in that brown pinstripe suit of mine. There should be a packet.
Okay.
Ooh, a new blade, I think. Shake it up, Millie. I'm dying for a fag.
Here you are. How you can smoke when you're shaving, I don't know.
Oh, thanks. You better light one.
Harry?
Hmm?
When did you go to Port Kensington?
I haven't been to Port Kensington for years.
Well, how does this receipt for a post office box at Port Kensington come to be in your pocket?
What?
For Mr. Joseph Barker.
Where did you get that?
In the pocket of your suit. Same one as a cigarette?
Give it to me.
No! What is it? What have you been doing?
Give me that receipt, Millie.
Oh, Harry, I know you're up to something funny. Getting rid of me the other night and hiring that typewriter when I could have typed your letters. And you don't know I saw them, but you had about a dozen sheets of Benny Puller's letterhead paper in your drawer. What are you doing? I want to know.
One day, Millie, you're going to poke that nose of yours in just a little too far.
Why should you want a post office box at this port something and in a false name? Why?
What if I told you?
What if I said I'd talk about this if you didn't?
Wait till I finish the shave, Millie. I think it's about time you and I had a heart-to-heart talk.
I think it's about time, too, Harry. You ought to know you can't put anything over on me. Now, finish your shave, and then we'll see what you have to say.
I'll be out in 5 minutes. And close the door, will you?
Oh, how could I have been such a lunatic, leaving that receipt for her to find?
Well, if she knows so much already, she may as well know the lot. If I get her to help the good work along, she'll be in it too. And then she won't be able to talk if she wants to. Might be safer that way.
Well, how does it feel to be a wage slave again, Marcia. Hard at work by 9:15 on your first Monday morning for... Let's see, how long is it?
It's a year and a bit, and I'm loving it.
Well, let's hope the novelty doesn't wear off too soon. Come on, let's have a shifty at those letters.
Good morning, Mr. Pilgrim's office.
Morning, Barbara. Shut your phone, will you? It's Stella Bronson here. It is Barbara, isn't it?
No, Stella. It's Marcia Pilgrim.
Hello. What are you doing there?
I'm the new secretary.
Good Lord.
I hope you don't mind.
Not at all. I think it's rather amusing. Look, we'd better not natter all day. Is Jeff there?
Stella for you, Jeff.
That's her. Morning, Stella.
Benny wants to see you this morning. Can you make...
What time?
Oh, any time between now and, say, 11. He has an appointment at 11:30.
All right, let's say 10 sharp. That'll give me time to clean up my letters.
I'll see you at 10 o'clock. Bye.
We have to be at Puller's at 10, Master, so we'd better get cracking. You didn't sound too matey with Stella just then.
Sorry.
Oh, look, darling, try to get along with her, can't you? She's on the phone twice a day, and it's going to be kind of difficult if you two are going to keep on feuding. What about it?
We're not feuding. We're just not soulmates, that's all.
Well, next time she rings, try to introduce a note of good cheer, eh?
Why on earth should I?
So the wheels will go around smoothly, that's all. You haven't thought any more about making a foursome one night, have you? Stella and Palmer and you and me?
No. Have you?
We'd better get on with our letters, Secretary.
That's just what I was thinking. It wouldn't do to keep Benny Puller waiting, would it, darling? We'll have to keep you waiting a few minutes, Jeff. Benny's talking to London.
Again? The money that man spends talking to the other side of the globe would keep you in Rolls-Royces for the rest of your life.
That's Benny, isn't it? What's it like having Marcia around for 24 hours a day instead of only 16?
Well, I have no complaints. Actually, she's only there because it's practically impossible to get efficient girls, and she knows the job.
Oh, yeah?
Well, listen, Stella, can't you think of anything to talk about besides Marcia?
Don't bark at me, Jeff. I'm almost one of the family. I bet it was all Marcia's idea to keep you right under her thumb this time.
Are you trying to pick an argument?
With you, darling. Don't be silly. I'm just intrigued.
Well, so long as you keep it to yourself. What does old Benny want me for?
He'll tell you himself. And why do you always refer to him as old Benny?
Well, he's scarcely in the first flush of youth.
Well, he's not much over 50. Apart from being a bit portly, he's kept himself in remarkably good trim.
Yes. Yes, come to think of it, he has. And there's certainly nothing wrong with his brains.
You know, Jeff, Benny Puller must be worth nearly $1 million. And he started without any particular education and without a penny. He's fought his way up every inch of the distance. And yet now he's on top. Well, there isn't an ounce of arrogance in his whole body.
Oh, I know. There's a lot to be said for him.
And although he hates to show it, he's wonderfully kind and wise. He understands you a lot better than you think.
You're singing a hymn of praise, aren't you, Stella? Benny's a nice old chap and all that, but... Hang it all. Anyone would think you were a... Well...
Come on, say it. Anyone would think what?
You couldn't possibly be getting fond of him, could you?
Oh, you fool. Surely I can admire him, can't I? Without you getting any silly ideas?
Oh, look who's getting terse now. You're actually blushing.
Oh, shut up. There's Benny's signal. Let's get going.
Now then, Pilgrim, sit down and get your thinking cap on. We've big things afoot. Whose accounts are you handling besides Mann?
Bates Hemingway, Robertson Archer and Company, Hiram Hagradias, and a couple of little ones.
Could you drop them all but mine?
I expect so. Neither Harry Palmer nor Campbell are fully extended at the moment. We've this new chap, Glover.
Right. See what you can do about leaving yourself free to look after my deals. Because I'm expanding into synthetic rubber and plastics.
You're not going to manufacture, are you, sir?
Rubber, no. Plastics, yes. I'm floating another company. Taking up 51% of the issue myself, offering the remaining 49% to the public. If you've got any money lying about, you'd better hop in and grab a block of script for yourself.
At a few points off, sir.
Shrewd guy, this Pilgrim, eh, Stella?
Shrewd is right.
Okay, now let's get down to facts and figures. Run your eye over this rough draft of the way we'll go into operation. You'd better come round here, the pair of you, and watch over my shoulder. Might be a good idea to take a few notes.
I'll get to work on it, sir, and let you know how I stand tomorrow. Goodbye for now.
Well, off you go, and don't let me down.
I shan't, sir. Goodbye. After you, Stella.
I'll be seeing you tomorrow, then.
Uh-huh.
Before you go, you know what we were talking about down in my office. You were thinking things about Benny Puller and me.
And what about it?
Well, dear, you'd be quite right if it weren't for one person. Just one person.
Oh? Who?
You. Blast you. I do everything I can to forget that man. The moment he comes near me, I know I'll never get him out of my system. If only there was something I could do. If only something would happen. Anything.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.